The commentators of the Quran have mentioned that the humiliating punishment that Allah has warned the people of Mecca about, that refers to what they had experienced in Badr, when the mushrikeen were killed, and it is possible that they may receive or may be engulfed in other punishment. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ لِلنَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. We have revealed to you the book with the true religion for the people. فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَلِنَفْسِهِ. Then whoever comes onto the path, it is to his own benefit. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever goes astray, he only goes astray to his own detriment. You cannot harm Allah in any way. It is your own problem that you will receive, you will experience the end result. So in this verse, وَمَا أَنْتَ عَنِمْ بِوَكِيلِ. You are not responsible for them. Allah addresses the messenger by saying that it is on your tongue, O Muhammad, and through this book, that the true facts have been conveyed. The straight path and the religion has been demonstrated. Now, each can bother about all that would benefit him or harm him. If he pays heed to the advice, it will be to his own benefit. If not, it will be to his own detriment. O Muhammad, Allah says to him, that you are in no way responsible to compel them onto the path. Your duty was merely to convey the path. This you've done. You should now hand over this matter to Allah, in whose control is life, death, sleep and wakefulness. And when we talk about sleep, Allama Baghawi rahimahumullah said, and he narrates from Sayyidina Ali, who said that the soul is removed when one is asleep. But there's a special connection to the body that is maintained by means of rays which do not allow life to become void. And this is similar to the sun warming the earth. Despite being millions of kilometers away, it becomes obvious from this that the thing that leaves the body at the time of sleeping is the same that leaves the body at the time of death. However, the connection is not cut off as is in the time of death. Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said that daily Allah takes away life when one is asleep, and thereafter He returns it, and this is a sign of the hereafter. And we learn from this that our life is taken away when we're sleeping, just as it is taken away during death. And if it is taken away in our sleep, this is in fact death. However, this life is something that we refer to as the external senses. Another life, when there is breathing, there is a pulse and food digested, this is separate. So what we understand and what our attention is being drawn to is that we shouldn't find the entire concept of life after death to be strange, because we experience a mini form of this on a daily basis. Allahu yatawaffal anfus hina mawtiha. Allah claims the souls at the time of their death. Wallati lam tamut fi manamiha, as well as those who do not die during their sleep. When the person or the life of a person has ended, Allah seizes his soul completely, after which his body is left lifeless, motionless. And when people fall asleep, their souls are partially seized, because of which they have no apparent control of their movements. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتَ وَيُرْسِلْ أُخْرَى إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah then seizes the soul upon which death has been decreed and releases others until their appointed time. Allah releases those sleeping souls from His grasp if their lives are not yet over. None besides Allah has authority or say in this matter, which is a daily occurrence that happens before everyone. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهِ. There are certain signs which are here for us to think. Allah Rabbul Izzah says that وَيُرْسِلْ أُخْرَى إِلَى مُسَمَّى إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. In this there are signs for those who ponder. During every waking moment, a person should ponder about this phenomenon. One will then realize that we are so helpless, that we don't have any control of ourselves, our sleeping and our waking. And keeping that in mind, one will then perceive that I am the slave of that being who created me. I am the slave of that being who created me. After mentioning this, Allah Rabbul Izzah highlights the foolishness of the mushrikeen, who had ascribed partners to Allah. أَمِتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ شُفَعَاءَ. Have they taken intercessors or intercessors apart from Allah? These partners are referred to as intercessors in the verse because the mushrikeen believe that these partners would intercede on their behalf before Allah. Allah Rabbul Izzah says that, do you take them as intercessors? Even though, أَوَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَمْلِكُونَ شَيْءٌ وَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Even though they do not have control over anything, nor do they have any understanding. Allah impresses upon the mind of the mushrikeen that their idols were nothing more than stones which have no power, nor do they have any knowledge about anything. They do not even know the meaning of intercession, on whose behalf they should intercede. They do not even know before whom they should intercede. So how can you even expect them to intercede? How can you expect these idols to intercede? قُلِ اللَّهِ شَفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. All intercession is subject to Allah's will. Allah shall permit intercession only for those whom He pleases and on whose behalf He pleases. Not even chosen bondsmen like the Anbiya and the angels will be allowed to intercede on behalf of the kuffar and the mushrikeen. It is therefore absurd to think that the kuffar and the mushrikeen will ever be pardoned by so-called intercession of their deities and their gods. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. For Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and then to Him we shall all return. At present, the dominions of the heaven and the earth are in Allah's hands, and even in the future, it will remain in the hands of Allah. Who then can have the audacity to say anything without the permission, without the authorization of Allah Rabbul Izzah? Allah Rabbul Izzah says, and then answering to these kuffar in various verses about this intercession, that none will be able to have any intercession. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَهْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. And when the name of Allah is mentioned, the hearts of those who do not believe in the hereafter become vexed, they become overfeared, they become filled with fear. That Allah is that who owns everything. And Allah mentions the intense devotion that the kuffar have. Yet, when it comes to matters of the hereafter, when Allah, the One, is mentioned, the hearts of those who don't believe are in the hereafter contract. They're extremely annoyed that the name of the idols are not taken. That gods besides Allah mentioned, they suddenly rejoice. Allah says that وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. When the idols are mentioned, then they become happy. And similar is the condition of those who perpetrate the bid'ah and the shirk in this world, who pose as Muslims. They always take offense when they are reminded of Allah's dhikr or adherence to the sunnah. However, they are exuberant when told about following the saints, that follow these awliya, about the miracles of the saints, about the fabricated stories of the saints. Then they become happy. Now the majlis is garam. Now they get into the mood. Now you've lit it up. And they can spend the entire night listening to these stories and are able to become ecstatic and go into a hall and all of that when hearing the sounds of the drums and all of that. And when the Fajr Azan come, then they head straight to the bed instead of the masjid. So, and that is what the Quran does, that we draw parables. We draw the parable between how the kuffar are in terms of their partners that they describe with Allah, and we look at those in our context who are engulfed in bid'at, in unsubstantiated activities in deen, and how their conduct is, and how they overlook the major issues of deen, and they turn a blind eye to it. Who is Allah? We need to continuously reflect on our Rabb. We need to understand His power, His might, and we need to submit to Him under all circumstances. May Allah make us from those who submit to His commandments in every situation, that we are willing to follow what He has instructed us, and that we believe in Him in the correct manner, as has been outlined to us by the Quran and the Sunnah, that we should never take deen for granted, or that we just practice on hearsay. Our deen is based on solid proofs.